allow the silence to go deeper. You have to surrender to the peace, to the silence, to the stillness. If you show that you love it, that you want it, then it will stay. If you put no attention to it, how can the beloved say that? Then you're not interested. So that means don't go away in your mind, in your thoughts, in the past, in the future. Empty yourself and be available for the moment. Because life is now. No matter what you have done, don't bring it into this temple, into the temple of now. Allow yourself to be empty, fresh, in the moment. Be aware of the ways of the mind, how it keeps you away from the moment, from the silence, from your own self. So have that feeling that you are ready to go deeper and start feeling the day, feeling the sun, feeling your heartbeat, feeling your breath, feeling the river, feeling more, being more, thinking less. Even though the mind is there, the thoughts comes and goes, don't go with them. This process you have to help yourself with. Understanding is the key word. That you understand and you embrace this, this is what you want. So you are not split. So you become total. So all parts of you are with you. Not that your heart wants one thing and the mind wants something else. Let it go deeper. Don't go with the little thoughts. Go with the vastness. Otherwise, anything can disturb your silence. Anything can disturb your awareness. Yes, you want peace. You want silence. You want clarity. But at the same time, your mind wants pizza. So where do you want to go? With your heart or with your mind? This choice you have to do again and again. Bring yourself back. And it's very helpful to tune into the nature. It's very helpful to tune into anything that is natural. That is what is happening in satsang. See now the difference from when you came. I can see it in your face. I can feel it. Now you start getting more and more in tune. In tune with the natural. In tune with me. In tune with yourself. So take help also from the nature. Only human beings has this problem with the mind. Otherwise, everything is like it always has been. Innocent, quiet. If you want peace, listen to the peaceful ones. If you want silence, listen to the silent ones. Just this morning, I went walking in the forest. Then I met some of the horses. And one horse was laying down because it was morning sun. And it's not often that the horses lay down. They can stand and sleep, no? Can you imagine? Maybe you also could stand and sleep. I don't know if you have. I know, because I have fallen asleep standing also. When I was guarding Osho, and I love to be in the nights, and sometimes very, very tired, and it happened a few times. I was falling asleep when I was sitting. And then I experimented a lot how to stay alert. So then I had to, you can change a lot your energy just by changing your position. When you start feeling the energies in the body. But then the tiredness goes beyond that. Then you had to stand up, because then it's more difficult to fall asleep. But then so tired that I fell asleep standing. And then I wake up just on the way to the floor. Then you get, body gets this shock. And then you get alert again, and so it goes. Because one thing I could not fall asleep, so it was a great practice. To be a master, even if your mind, your body is so tired that it can't stay alert, it can't stay awake, you can still stay awake. So this morning, when I found my horses there, and one was laying down, it looked so beautiful. So then I had to also go and lay down next to her. And horses are very alert. And they don't sleep alone. So another one was standing there on guard if somebody comes ready. Because they don't know, maybe it's still a wolf or a tiger. This is in the DNA of the animals, no? They are always on guard. But they know me. And then I saw these are horses. They have no problem to communicate with because a horse is a horse. But that's not how it is with human beings. They look like human beings, but who knows who is inside? Who knows what is happening inside? Who knows what thoughts, what emotions, what frustration, what anger, what doubt, what jealousy, what comparison, what judgments? Who knows what is happening inside? With animals, so easy. If you are easy. Otherwise, of course, it's very difficult. Any mind, they will scare the horses and scare the animals because they are very sensitive. But when you are totally still and communicate on that level with the animal, they feel very happy. Here's another horse. Then I was thinking, when you go into their area, That is their area. That's where they live. That's where they sleep. Then if you're sensitive, then you tune in to them. The people in who are there. Their home. That is out of respect. Out of understanding. But what does the human beings do? They kill them. So unconscious. And humans should be the peak of creation. So when I was sitting there, everything was harmonious. I was home, they were home. And then they love you. Because they know that everything is like it should be. Then I was thinking about you. You come also into my house. Slowly, slowly, if you are natural, if you are innocent, if you want to be together, then slowly, slowly you fall in tune with the surroundings. Then everything is as it should be. Everything becomes harmonious. But if you want to be occupied with your own things, it's out of place. You have to feel the place where you are in. And satsang is the temple of the heart, of the self. So you only place, only way you can be at home is to feel that. Not everything else will be a disturbance. When you fall in tune, when there is no mind, everything is easy. I talk to your heart. If the heart is there, it's very easy. If the mind is there, it's very difficult. How can they connect? Just if I went into the forest and my beautiful horses were sleeping there, and then I will tell them, no, it's 8 o'clock, you can't sleep now. Behave. Then I will shake up the whole energy then. No, you just lay down. Then they are very happy. One more horse, they feel more safe. More beauty, more safety. That's how it is when you become one. Then it becomes stronger. You have to melt. That is the key. You have to let go. You have to understand. You have to be sensitive. But of course, it depends what you want. That's why the longing is important, the understanding is important, otherwise nothing can happen. If you are not sure, if you haven't decided, then still conflict. I will read you something from Buddha, from old Buddha. Or the Buddha, Gautama the Buddha. Okay, get it. How can a troubled mind understand the way? If a man is disturbed, he will never be filled with true wisdom. An untroubled mind, no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong, a mind beyond judgments, watches and understands. Know that the body is a fragile jar, and make a castle of your consciousness. In every trial, let understanding fight for you to defend what you have won. For soon the body is discarded. Then what does it feel? A useless log of wood, it lies on the ground. Then what does it know? Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts, unguarded. But once mastered, no one can help you as much, not even your father or your mother. Buddha said, how can a troubled mind understand the way? And all minds are troubled. If you are identified with the mind, there is no peace. And sannyas is that decision. No, I want to purify the mind. No, I want to find something else. No, I have enough of the restlessness. No, I want peace. This is the seeker, the sannyasin, the meditator, the yogis. That is what sannyas mean. Buddha said, how can a troubled mind understand the way? The world doesn't understand the way. The world doesn't understand the great way. How can it understand the great way? They are not great. They are listening to the mind. Only great ones understand the great. Only lovers understand love. Same way. Only innocent people understand that which is innocent. How can a troubled mind understand the way? This is how he starts. You have to decide. You have to start to unburden yourself. You have to start purifying yourself. If a man is disturbed, he will never be filled with knowledge. This knowledge is not true. Again, it's not enlightened people who have translated. That's why they say knowledge. Knowledge belongs to the head. What he means is wisdom, is consciousness. He will never be filled with consciousness, with true wisdom. And if a mind is disturbed, if the mind is occupied, it is disturbed. That's why if you come to a Buddha, how important it is that no, I want to stop. Maybe it takes time for that stopping to happen, but at least you have taken that decision and you are studying it. And the more you stop, the more peace, the more trust, the more love you feel, the more deeper you sink. And the deeper you sink, the higher you rise, the more understanding, the more seeing. If a man is disturbed, he will never be filled with wisdom. And look how disturbed people are. And look how disturbed this planet is. Where do you find the silent ones? Where do you find those who are undisturbed? And very few people are interested in that. They are interested in everything else. They don't even know that they are disturbed, because disturbed is what they call natural. The mind is what is natural. To be in unbalance is what is natural in this world. Not to be one, but to be split. An untroubled mind, no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong. A mind beyond judgments watches and understands. But that is not easy, an untroubled mind, an unburdened mind, a clean mind. That is the whole process of meditation, of being with the Master, is that more and more this mind that has been so unruly, it starts giving up. And different sides of your being that you never have been in contact with before start arising because the mind is getting less. When the mind is getting more quiet, then other energies can come up. Other sides of your being can come up, which you didn't even know you had. That is how the Master tricks you. That's why they say it's the easiest. Because it happens by itself. You don't even know what is happening. But it comes up because something is keeping you there. An untroubled mind no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong. An all mind is consider what is right and what is wrong. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go here? Should I go there? This is the disease of the mind. And the whole world is this right and wrong. But Buddha said, an untroubled mind, a mind that is clear, for one that has come back to themselves, no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong. Because you have gone beyond right and wrong, you can see. And in seeing, there is no right and wrong. Things are just like they are. That is understanding. It's not a mental understanding. Then you see things as they are. There is no conflict. There is oneness. There is unity. That's the whole thing with the third eye. If you see from that center, if you see from that clarity, that is unity. The two eyes only always see two. It is split. That is the ordinary human being. You have the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. One active, one silent. And they always are in unbalance. Only when you see from that clarity, which is beyond those, then there is oneness. Then it goes beyond right and wrong. What is it that to right and wrong? Right and wrong can only belong to someone who's identified with the ego, with the mind. If you have gone beyond that, there's no right and wrong. It's impossible because this true law, the true scriptures is in you. It's impossible to harm anybody, to kill anybody, if you come from your center, if you come from your clarity. You don't need to have any laws, you don't need to have any commandments. That is for the mind, for the children. And still, how much does it work? All the big masters have said, thou should not kill. Look how good we are in killing. Look how many wars there are. And it's been going on like that for thousands of years. There's always war on this planet. The only way to go beyond war, which is the outer manifestation of this conflict, is to go beyond right and wrong. Then you see. But then you have to go beyond religion also, which is most of the time why there is war. Very strange. That should be peace. And then we have made it into war. An untroubled mind, no longer seeking to consider what is right and what is wrong, a mind beyond judgment, watches and understands. When you are beyond judgments, when you are beyond comparison, then it just watches and understands. Then all this energy, this mental energy that is going into all those things, that it's been sucking you away more and more from your true clarity, all that is gone. Then the energy starts coming back to the source. Then you start seeing the world and yourself with totally new eyes. Still your eyes, but everything is changed because you are not following the mind. No different sides. A higher side of your being can start seeing. No, a different master is coming back into the throne. A mind beyond judgments watches and understands. And it can only watch and understand. It's very difficult to talk about it. Because if you understand, you understand. Then what to say then? Then I can see it in your eyes if you understand or not understand. If you understand, fine. Then you understand. Then there is a different meeting then. Then there is a meeting of that awareness, that love, instead of mine. Here, it can be many, many minds. And every mind, every coconut has different opinions, different judgments, different past, different dreams, different ideas of what is right and what is wrong, different ideas about spirituality. But one heart. If you come back to the heart, one heart, but many minds. That is what satsang is. If it is one heart, then everything is clear then. Then everything is received. Maybe not even understood. Maybe even the mind doesn't understand it. But it is received in the heart. It goes deeper than the mind. Maybe you don't trust the heart yet, but the heart knows, and it wants more. Maybe the mind is still fighting. This is the fight between the mind and the heart. This is hell and heaven. It's not very far away. About 20 centimeters. Know that the body is a fragile jar and make a castle of your mind. Again, this translator said your mind. That's not, they don't know about consciousness. They say mind. Know that the body is a fragile jar and make a castle of your consciousness. Make a castle of yourself. Make a castle of your heart. Make your castle of your awareness, your insight. Know that the body is a fragile jar and make a castle of yourself, of your consciousness. In every trial, let understanding fight for you. To defend what you have won. Every time you get tested, let understanding fight for you to defend what you have won. because the mindness will come again and again. It will be many opportunities to stand up for yourself, to stand up for your clarity, to stand up for your truth. Nobody said it was going to be easy. And the habit of the mind is very, very old. So definitely it will try to make you an unbalance. But know that the body is a fragile jar. The body, you can't depend on it. It will go. Then who are you going to listen to then? You have to find something that is deeper. You have to become more conscious. You have to become more aware. Then that consciousness goes with you. That understanding, that love goes with you. How can it go? The body will go. But don't depend on it, says the Buddha. Find something that is higher, deeper. Something that will go with you. Otherwise, maybe you just become a ghost. You only know the body. That's why there is ghosts. They have only know the physical. So even when they leave the body, they are still hanging around, scaring other human beings because they don't understand. You don't have a body, you are a ghost. Why you are here? If the ghost could speak, it would say, because I don't know that I was more than the body. Then sometimes you have to tell the ghost, you are not the body anymore, the body is dead. Please move on now. Then it will be very happy. Thank you. Even ghost, you can help. Awareness, love, can help anything in this universe. Anything. Even ghosts. Not fear. Of course, most people, ordinary people, they are afraid of ghosts. Huh? Boo. With understanding, you see. Then you're not afraid. Then you will help the ghost. Huh? Instead of being afraid, you will help the ghost. Then you have a friendly ghost. Friendly ghost that can help you also because he sees things. Then maybe he doesn't want to go, he stick around just to help you. That's a friendly ghost. Very nice. You have a nice ghost. It's the same as human being. If the ghost is happy, love, then it's a friendly ghost. If human being has love, then it's nice. If it has fear, then it's ugly. Same human, living human beings, deadly human beings. Know that the body is a fragile jar and make a castle of your consciousness, of your heart. In every trial, let understanding fight for you to defend what you have won. Know you have gathered some insight, some clarity. Stand up for it. For soon the body is discarded. Then what does it feel? Then what does it feel? When is no more there, then what does it feel? All these things that were so problematic. All these things that gave you so much headache. All these rights and wrong, all these ideas, no, is they gone with the body? Then how much was it worth? Soon the body is discarded, then what does it feel? a useless log of wood, it lies on the ground. Then what does it know? Then what do you know then? If you only knew the body, if you only knew the physical, when it's dead, when it lies like a piece of log on of wood on the ground, then what does it know? Asked Buddha. What do you know now? Your body is finished. Know what you have to say. What did you learn? That's why many people, they don't learn anything. They live, but they don't learn. Only way you learn is by becoming more alert, becoming more conscious, coming more back to yourself. That goes with you. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts unguarded. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts unguarded. Your worst enemy is nothing compared to your mind. Enemies, even your worst enemies, comes and goes. Your mind is there all the time. And this mind can make anybody into your enemy. Even the one who wants to help you. Even the one who wants to free you. Even the enlightened ones. That is the story. What was the whole teaching of Christ? He said, love is God. What did they do with him? They nailed him up on the cross. Don't say these things. We know about hate, we don't know about love. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts unguarded. And I wanted to remind you, at least here, guard your thoughts very well. This is not the place of unruly thoughts. Become your own master. Don't waste your precious energy in your mind, in your confusion. Go deeper. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts unguarded. But once mastered, no one can help you as much, not even your father or your mother. But once mastered, that is the possibility to become your own master, to become a master over your mind, to not be a slave out of your mind and your emotions and your feelings, to rise higher. That is what it means. A master. A master is just someone who is the master. A master of himself. A master of herself. If that master speaks or teaches, that is another story. Not all masters speak. Not all masters teach. A master is one who is not ruled by the mind, by the emotions, by the feelings, who can see beyond into that which is one, undivided, into the clarity, who has no more fog, who you cannot corrupt or tempt in any way, who you cannot offer anything else. Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts unguarded. But once mastered, no one can help you as much. No, because no, you are free. No, you are not a slave. Now that mind that was torturing you, now it becomes a beautiful instrument. Now it has found its right place. Now you can use it very beautifully. When it needs to be used, you use it. Now the servant has found the right place. Now the true master is back in the seat. If you need the mind, you use it. And then all these emotions and feelings, they become very pure. Then you can rely on them, because the body has its own wisdom, its own mechanism. Then it will show you. Then you can listen to it. Before you can ever listen to it, they were all hopsy-topsy, interrupted by your mind, by your ideas. When there is clarity, it functions beautifully. Because you are unburdened, you are cleansed. No one can help you as much, not even your father or your mother. A little strange saying, but this has always been like that. And remember, Buddha was also just a man. Buddha also had a mama and a papa. And it's a well-known fact, and I have seen it myself. If you get really sick, or if you're about to die, or if you have a bad accident, and if you are far away, then unconsciously, most people, they cry for mama, for papa. Because it's the deepest in you from when you were little. Now your whole mind is gone. Now you're back to that helplessness. Then you cry for mama, for papa, help me. But they cannot help you anymore. But this is what Buddha means. No one can help you as much, not even your father and your mother. Now you have found something that goes beyond. Now you are free from the mother and the father. Now you have broken loose. You know that they can help you because you have helped yourself. And then if something happened, unconsciously you won't call mama or papa. You will be quiet. You will be conscious. But that is very, very few people who is quiet and conscious at that point, who has gone beyond the mind, who have found what can really help them. That is what the Buddha is teaching, to become your own master. To uncover this diamond that you have that was so hidden from your mind, your ideas, your confusion, your fogginess. Then it becomes very, very beautiful when that can shine. And that will shine. It will shine through you if there is no mind, if there is no ideas there. That's what the Buddha does. He is one of the shining ones. That's another word for the mystics, the shining ones. Because they have uncovered that which shines. There is no fog there. How can you shine if you're full of fog? if you are full of ideas, if you are full of comparison, if you are full of confusion, if you are full of fear. That is what I call the homework. And it's not easy, but it's the only work worth doing. And as soon as you get just a little result, you feel so happy, you feel so grateful, you feel so relieved, you can't even recognize yourself. What is happening? And that is happening all the time. And then the Buddha are very happy. And then they say, may everybody be happy. Aum Shanti Shanti Shanti. How can one be happy with a troubled mind? We can only be happy with a peaceful mind. And when that peace is recognized, and you start working in the service of that peace, then bliss also happens. Then deeper gratefulness happens.